This is Brian Jenkins of Chosen 300 Ministries. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to join us on the web at www.chosen300.org, where you can learn about volunteer activities and also opportunities for giving. You can give by sending us a gift to Chosen 300 Ministries at P.O. Box 95, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, 19003. We also have an option for online giving right on our website at chosen300.org, and we also encourage you to designate your United Way or community giving gifts at your place of employment to Chosen 300 Ministries. This is a big help to our ongoing expense for our mission projects in Center City, Philadelphia. We want to thank you so much for joining to us today, and may God bless you and you enjoy today's message.
Come on, somebody put your hands together and just bless the Lord real good. Let the peace of God let it rain. You thank God for all of our staff today and how well they work and get things together, and I appreciate all their help. Give our staff a great big hand. Amen. Praise God for them. Amen. I ask that you be in prayer for me. Tomorrow we'll be leaving out for Guyana, South America, to work with the evangelistic project over there. We're holding crusades in four churches this week. Four revivals going on at the same time in four different regions with four pastors, one from New York, one from North Carolina, and two from Philadelphia. So I ask that you pray with us. This is an effort of Chosen 300 Ministries. We're also going to hopefully, by the end of the trip, have an agreement to open up the fourth feeding program over there in Guyana, South America. So we're now in three communities, hopefully to open up number four, and we're excited about the work of God. Also pray for the project that we're about to start in September, the West Philadelphia project. We're opening up Center 2 in Philadelphia, and we're excited about that. I ask you to pray for that. We are going through some building challenges, and so we're just praying that after license and inspections finishes with everything, and everything will work well. So we're just going to pray that the Lord would have his way. But that site should open up in September, and we're excited about that. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Amen. Let us look to Lord. Father, we thank you, God, for the word of God. You said to your servant David, I will make his word a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathways, that I might hide his words in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. I want to thank God for the reading of the scripture this morning. I want to focus on verse 7 of the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Verse 7 of the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. And the word of God says this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to repeat that again. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Just turn to neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, how to have peace of mind. Peace of mind. Amen. Last week we dealt with let the peace of God let it rain. And if you did not have an opportunity to be here last week, we just had a word from heaven. Let the peace of God let it rain. And you can go on the website at the library or Career Link or wherever you go on the web at, and go to chosen300.org. If you weren't here, you can hear that message right online. Let the peace of God let it rain. And we dealt with many areas of how to let the peace of God reign in our lives, how we get rid of the wickedness in our lives, how destruction must occur, not only within the body itself, but also within ourselves, how we mortify the deeds of the flesh so that the peace of God can reign. And then after the destruction, the presence of God, that the Spirit of God would come in, and the Spirit of God gives us peace. This morning, we want to kind of continue in somewhat of a series in dealing with the peace of God. How can we have peace of mind? You know, every time I go away, and my staff always tells me, Brian, don't call. Don't call. Everything's going to be all right. Don't call. Don't check on in us. Everything is running fine. If we don't call you, everything is going to be okay. I go away, and every single night, I call. I call. And the reason why, because one, I'm a pastor, and as a pastor, there are some concerns in my heart. I want to make sure I need peace of mind that everything is all right. You know, everybody's being treated right, and the building is still here when I get back. I just kind of need peace of mind. And after I make that phone call, the rest of my day is fine. I just need to make that one call just to check on things. It gives me peace of mind. If you ever seen the advertisements from the cemetery or the funeral home, they have what is called a peace of mind plan. A peace of mind. Now, I'm trying to figure out how they give you a peace of mind plan. But the idea is that, you know, you would set up this policy so that upon the point of your physical demise, that your family won't have to worry about anything, and they will have peace of mind that everything is going to be all right, that they ain't going to throw you in the back of the river somewhere. But you have peace of mind. Other people think about it the other way. They say, well, I'm gone. I'm going to have peace of mind. I ain't got nothing to worry about. But we all want peace of mind. In our text today, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, we're going to start at verse 4. We want to talk about seven things we must do in order to have peace of mind. Just turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor,
how to have
peace of mind. The first one is found in verse 4. It begins by saying this: rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Rejoice. If I said the word rejoice, how would you respond? Rejoice. All right, somebody's stuck somewhere in another planet. Let me try it again. If I said rejoice, what would you do? Rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. When you are rejoicing, what you are doing is exhorting or magnifying happiness, that the happiness or joy that is already within you, you are simply releasing it out. You are rejoicing. But the text said specifically, just don't rejoice about anything or within anything. It says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. You're going to get it in a second. Let's look at Psalms, the 37th chapter, in the fourth verse. It says, delight thyself in the Lord, and then he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Psalms 94 and 19. I want to read from three different versions because it kind of makes it clear as you gather along through the versions. The first version is in the King James Version. It says, in the multitude of my thoughts, within me, the comforts delight my soul. In the multitude of my thoughts, within me, thy comforts delight my soul. The second version is in the NIV, the New International Version. It says, when anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. You're going to get it. Let's look at the message. I like the message. It says, when I was upset and beside myself, you calmed me down and cheered me up. You don't get it yet. Your current thoughts, whatever the circumstances and difficulties in your life, regardless of what's going on, when you put yourself in God, in the Lord, you can still rejoice because he gives you joy. And not only does he give you joy, but he gives you joy unspeakable. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Somebody ought to rejoice. Somebody else didn't get it. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Somebody ought to rejoice. Our source of joy is not in our circumstance or in our current situation, but our source of joy is in the Lord. If you look at the seventh and eighth chapters of the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was building the wall and the gates around the wall. And the reason why he was building these, it was after the Babylonian exile. And after the Babylonian exile, the people who were left in Jerusalem were the people that were left behind. They were the non-important people. They were the people who didn't have talents or skills, but they were left behind in Jerusalem. But not only were they left behind without resources, they were left behind without instruction and the word of God. And the Bible says that after they built the wall, Nehemiah and the Levites began to teach them the law of God. You know, a lot of people read this text and they mess it up. But if you look at it, it says they began to hear the word of God and then they got discouraged. They got discouraged because the law of God was so difficult. Obeying God's word and his commandments is hard and it's tough. But Nehemiah says this. I love this. Let's look down at the ninth verse of Nehemiah, the eighth chapter, and also verse 10. We're just going to read part of this. It says, "This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said," this is Nehemiah, "unto them, go your way. Eat the fat and drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." See, it might be difficult by yourself to obey God's word. But when you have the joy of God in your life, even though that you fall short, even though difficulties arise, even though problems are around you, I still got joy. Oh, somebody ought to say hallelujah. There's a song that says, "I still got joy. I still got joy after all that I've been through. I still got joy." If you're going to have peace of mind, if you're going to clear your thoughts, you ought not to walk around with a frown all the time. Walk around with your face all tore up from the floor up, but you ought to have some joy. When difficulties arise, don't hold your head down. Just rejoice. Don't rejoice in the circumstance, but rejoice in the Lord, because you belong to God, because Jesus hung on Calvary. We can still have joy. You're listening, but you don't get it. See, if you don't say amen, I think I need to explain it more. See, Jesus, when he got up out of the grave, he came to the disciples. And see, they were sad because of the fact that Jesus had died. They were upset because they felt that Jesus was now gone. But Jesus walks in the room. He says, "Wait a second. Peace be unto you." You don't get it. You don't get it. See, because Jesus got up from the grave, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the difficulty is, you can have peace of mind. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, bless his name. Woo! Just turn to your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, how to have peace of mind." As we continue on our text in the fourth chapter, in the fifth verse, it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." I want to clarify this real quickly. Let your moderation. It comes from a Greek word which means epiakos. 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 I don't use too much Greek here, but epiakos. Epiakos means be equitable, be fair, be mild and gentle. Be equitable, be fair, be mild and be gentle. It says, let your moderation, your epikos, your be equitable and be fair and be kind to one another, to all men. Just be good to people. Be nice. You know, there's some nasty people in this world. Some of y'all saying, "Yeah, I'm one of them." But this nasty people, just mean. But when do you take the opportunity? Just be nice. We had a wonderful meeting with our staff yesterday. We were talking about just be nice to people. Just make everybody feel welcome and feel good. I share with them all the time is that I don't want anyone to ever come into this place and walk out unhappy. I know it's difficult, but even the most difficult person that walks through that door, there is some light of happiness or kindness that you can extend to them to make them feel good about being in this place. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every time that you encounter somebody, you ought to make that moment magical. That because they came into your presence, you did epicus. That you extended kindness and gentleness and love. See, it doesn't matter how much we jump and shout. It's what we do when we come back down. See, Paul said it this way, that though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love beareth all things. It hopeth all things. It endures all things. Love never fails. As far as prophecies, they shall fail. As far as tongues, they shall cease. As far as knowledge, it shall vanish away. He says, abide these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You got to have epicus. You got to be kind. You got to be gentle. And you have to let your moderation be known all to all men. And the reason why we do it is because the Lord is at hand. See, a lot of times you are trying to find reason to love other people because of people. You're trying to find reason to be kind to other people because of other people. But if you're going to have peace of mind, you got to realize that I ain't doing this because of you, baby. I'm doing this because the Lord is at hand. They might come up to you talking all nasty, talking, you got all that gray hair on your head, you all old, you got a you this, you that. But you ought to say, you know what? The Lord is at hand. The Lord bless you. I don't care what they say about you, how much they talk about you. I don't care how much they talk down at you. You say, the Lord is at hand. The Lord bless you. You give them a smile. You return evil, not evil for evil, but you return good for evil and be a blessing on them. He says, bless them that curse you and do all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. The Lord is at hand. So be kind. Be gentle. If you're going to have peace of mind, you got to give peace of mind to others and not be always trying to give them a piece of your mind. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, how's it have? Peace of mind. We got to rejoice in the Lord. You got to give peace of mind to others. The third thing is found in verse 6. It begins by saying, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. And if we were to interpret this in a modern translation, we simply say, stop worrying. Stop worrying. And I know sometimes this might be difficult. What do you mean, stop worrying? You see all the stuff that I'm going through? You see the difficulties that I'm dealing with? Stop worrying. Stop worrying. Let's look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 31 to 34. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles do seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things. Now let me clarify this. I hear this so many times. Say, oh, Lord's going to give me all my stuff. No, he says all these things. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and what we're going to wear. These things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take care of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You have to realize that God will provide for you. He will make a way. Now let me clarify. God creates the avenue by which you can go get it. But if you don't go get it, it's still going to be stuck there for you. You have to realize that the blessings of God are available to you. But if you just sit there all day in a chair and don't move, your blessing's still going to be over across the street. Your blessing still going to be around the corner because you're sitting there. But God will provide for you. But you got to seek first the kingdom. Stop worrying about all the other stuff. If you just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. How to have peace of mind? We have to rejoice in the Lord. We have to give peace of mind to others. We have to stop worrying. Number 4 is found in verse 6, part B. It says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In everything, by prayer and supplication. The fourth thing that we have to have in order to have peace of mind, we have to have a consistent prayer life. We have to have a consistent prayer life. There's two key words here. The first thing is in everything. In everything. You're going to get it. In everything. That means in every area of your life, you should be prayerful. I'm not talking about driving down the street or riding the bus or, you know, walking down the street with your head down, eyes closed. You might walk into a pole. But the key is to be prayerful about all things. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, what would you have for me this day? Guide me in this day. Even though when things are going right or things are going wrong, in everything. I know you might think that you have the answer, but in everything. I know that you think that logic tells you that if you put one foot in front of the other, you're going to walk. But in everything, God, I thank you for allowing me to walk down this street. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you in the morning I can brush my teeth. I thank you that I can raise my hand. In everything, God, I'm going through difficulty. Help me in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, there's a difference between prayer and supplication. Supplication is part of prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Wait, let me say it again. Supplication is part of prayer, but not all prayer is supplication. Prayer is your communication with God. God, I thank you. God, I worship you. God, I adore you. Lord, you're worthy of the praise. That I'm talking, I'm communicating with God. I'm praying. I'm seeking his face. Yes, yes. But supplication is our petition and request that we make unto God. And that's why Paul signifies in this text that not only should we just pray, but we also should make supplication. We got to pray. We got to have a consistent prayer life. Well, let's continue. Number 5 is found in verse 6c. It says, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. The fifth thing that we have to have is have a thankful heart. A thankful heart. Now, there's three areas of thanks. There's three areas of thanks. There is past thanks. There is present thanks, and there is expecting thanks. You're going to get it. There is past thanks, there is present thanks, and there is expecting thanks. See, past thanks is thanking God for what he's already done. God, I thank you. You woke me up this morning. You started me on my way. You put running in my feet, clapping in my hands, gave me the ability to think, ration, understand. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. These clothes might not be the best clothes. I might have to go to the discount store, but thank you. I was looking at one of my brothers when they came in. He had this nice suit on. It was all right. I saw him earlier this morning, had this nice suit on. And I said, that's a nice suit. I know that suit didn't come from the store that I shop at. That's a nice suit. See, I go to K&G for the $99 special. And he had a real nice, but I said, God, I thank you. Because I could be in Africa with a rope tied around me and a piece of cloth from an animal, but thank you. See, a lot of times we look at our own situation, but you have to understand there's somebody always worse off than you. You got to say thank you. How many people has the Lord been good to? The rest of you just didn't figure it out yet, because God has been good to everybody in here. If you walked in here, you ought to say thank you. Can I get somebody to say thank you? See, somebody didn't get it yet. Can I get somebody to say thank you? Come on, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, bless his name. We got to say thank you. Thank you for what the Lord has already done. If he doesn't do anything else, I can still say thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Bless your name, God. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God that I'm not everything that I should be. But God, I thank you for what I'm not, what I used to be. Thank you. Past thanks. But not only is there past thanks, there's present thanks. There's present thanks. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 and 18, it says, pray without ceasing, that in everything give thanks, for it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, you're going to get it. In everything. The scripture does not say for everything. It says in everything, in the midst of my current circumstance, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's difficult, thank you. See, I know some of us are going through right now. I know some of us have difficulty right now, but in the midst of this moment right now, thank you. I know somebody doesn't get it, but even where you are, the moment, the circumstance, the difficulty, the problems, the afflictions, the trials, the good, the bad, the ugly, thank you. In the midst of this, Paul said it this way in Philippians 4, 11 to 12. It says, now, not that I speak in respect of what I want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, I therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. See, that word content means I got peace. I got peace. See, that's what it means to be in the present tense. That in my circumstance, that whether I'm up or down, I can still say thank you. We got to say thank you in the past tense. We got to say thank you in the present tense. But we also got to say thank you in the future tense. Well, what are you talking about? How can I thank God for something I don't have yet? You're talking about thank God for tomorrow. Thank God for what I'm going to get next week. You have to understand, but when we make our requests, this is what Paul's talking about in the sixth verse, that it says, by everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make our request. I don't have that job yet. It's not been manifested in my life, but it's mine. Thank you. I don't have that house yet. It hasn't been manifested in my life, but I see my house. It's out there in the future. Thank you. I'm in debt right now, but I see my debt going away. It's not in my moment. It has not been manifested, but I see it coming. Thank you. I see my degree, my education that God has for me. I don't have it. It's not manifested in my life right now, but I know it's mine. Thank you. Ooh. Somebody ought to say thank you. See, I heard old songwriter say that he ever get a time, just have a thank you fit. If you start thinking about the past, the present, and the future, and you just start saying thank you. Yeah. See, you don't know what I'm thanking him for, but thank you. Yeah. Just give me a moment just to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Somebody ought to say thank you. Come on, lift those hands where you are and tell God thank you. Come God bless his name. Even though that things might be going right, he's done some stuff already for you. Thank you. In the midst of your circumstance, he can still say, thank you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to say, thank you. But there's seven things that we have to do in order to have peace of mind. We got to rejoice in the Lord. We got to give peace of mind to others. We have to stop worrying. We have to have a consistent prayer life, giving thanks. We have to have a thankful heart. Well, what else do we have to have? In verse 16, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. The sixth thing is that we have to understand that God is the source of your blessings. You know what the most cause of worry is? You worrying about what somebody else is going to do for you. Why are you looking at somebody else, especially those that ain't have nothing? I have a Father in heaven. And the scripture says it like this, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He owns you, the chair you're sitting on, the tile under the chair, the ground under the chair, the earth under the chair, the center of the earth, all the way to China. He owns it. And if God owns all this stuff, then I own it. See, you don't get it. You don't get it. See, when Christ died on Calvary, man was separated from God from before, but then he reconciled us through Christ's blood. And through Christ's blood, we became joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if he's going to freely give his son everything, and I'm his son through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says that we have now called sons by adoption. We have been adopted into the family of God. You're a son. You're a daughter. You're a son. You're a daughter. We are joint heirs. So that means that it's all ours. So why are you worrying? God is the source of every blessing. Let's keep going. The very last thing is found in verse 7, and it's number 7. It kind of works out like that. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your mind. It keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. See, a lot of people kind of twist it up and say, in Christ, it's through Christ Jesus. See, through the cross, through Christ, that's how we get peace of mind. But you have to understand that the peace of God is not based on logic. All right. Amen. And let this sink in for a second. The peace of God is not based on logic. So you look at me and you see me smiling all the time and happy-go-lucky, but it doesn't mean that everything is going all right. I just got the peace of God. See, because even though that I have difficulty in my life, even though that the money doesn't always meet the month, even though that trials may come, I still got the peace of God. See, when we allow the peace of God to come into our life, you don't have to worry about stuff. It doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility. It says we don't have to worry. Because the peace of God, it passeth all logical understanding. See, I might get knocked down, but I'm not out. I might have difficulty, but everything's going to be all right. See, I might not have a dime to my name, nothing but the golf ball that I got from Johnny this morning when he was playing with it. But you have to understand, I still got the peace of God. Yeah, that's why Carrie and Shanday sang that song today. Father of life, draw me closer. Lord, my heart
is set on you. Let me run the race of time. Let the peace of God, let it reign. Let's listen to this song.
Praise the Lord. We hope you enjoyed today's mission message for today. We encourage you once again to sow a seed of faith into this ministry. We are the ministry that is uniting the body of Christ to reach the world, to help the homeless and less fortunate. We also encourage you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for our Sunday morning worship and breakfast. And again, any volunteer opportunity, they're located on the website at chosen300.org, where you can participate in helping the homeless and less fortunate. May God bless you and may heaven smile upon you.